In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, we have this special feast day today of the dedication of St. John Lateran. And it's interesting that this is a second-class feast, while the dedication of St. Peter's in Rome, you know, the biggest church in the world, which feast will be next Tuesday, it's only a third-class feast. So why the special attention given to the dedication of St. John Lateran? Well, the main reason for the special honor the church gives to this church is that it was the first official Catholic church in the world. And if you go to visit St. John Lateran, you see this inscription on the church that says, "The mother and the head of all churches in the world." So you know how Catholics, when the Catholic faith was started, immediately the Roman Empire began to persecute Catholics. For some reason, it saw the Catholic faith as an enemy to the interests of the Roman Empire, and they were putting Catholics to death. And some of the first Catholics put to death were Saints Peter and Paul in the very city of Rome. And these persecutions, they continued for an extremely long time. We're talking about centuries of the Roman Empire putting Catholics to death just for the fact that they were Catholics, that they held the Catholic religion. Consider this fact, that the practice of the Catholic religion was illegal in the Roman Empire for not just 10 or 20 or 30 years, but for a period of more than 250 years. Imagine what it was like to be a Catholic during these very difficult times, when you were practicing your faith and you knew that what you were doing was against the law, and that you could be arrested simply for the religion that you were holding. Of course, these Catholics, they knew that our Lord Jesus Christ was God. They knew that they belonged to the true faith. And at the same time, they had to pay this very heavy price for being Catholic. They couldn't use public buildings to practice their religion or to build their own temples. They couldn't have public places of worship. They had to meet in secret. They had to meet in their homes. And if you go to Rome, you can find places where these ancient excavations that bear the signs of homes where Catholics would make a very special room in order to have Mass in their home. Of course, the Catholics also famously often met in their burial grounds, which were held sacred by the Romans and were kind of a sanctuary. They'd be kind of a persecution-free zone. They would just go down into the tombs under the ground and have their services there because they were safe there. So just think about what this situation was like for these first Catholics. How taxing it must have been for them. How weary they must have gotten over the decades as this persecution wore on, thinking to themselves, "How long, Lord? How long are we going to be put to death by this empire? How long is our religion going to be persecuted? This true faith that we practice and has come into this world, how long are we going to have to put up with this? Lord, when will you intervene? When will you do something about this situation to defend your people? Our blood is being shed continually for our faith, and it's hard for people to convert. When we say, we have the true faith, why don't you come to church with us? Where are you going to church? In the tombs, under the ground, because our religion is illegal. If you join this faith, you could get killed by the empire. That's what could happen. Think about how difficult this situation was, and their expectations, their hopes with like the next emperor, one emperor dies, another emperor comes. They're like, well, maybe this emperor is the one, finally, who will stop killing us, who will stop persecuting us. The fact is, my dear faithful, that our Lord did not want to intervene right away to help these first Catholics. Not only did he not want to intervene right away, he wanted to wait hundreds of years before stepping in and delivering them from this terrible persecution. He wanted those first Catholics to resemble him more closely than many Catholics throughout the history of the past 2,000 years. He wanted them to have this opportunity to shed their blood for him as he had shed his blood for them. As we know, many of them did exactly that. This is how we have all these incredible saints, these incredible martyrs from the first 300 years of our history. These great saints that we honor each day when we pray the Office of Prime, when the priests pray the Office of Prime every morning, the cantor stands up and he tells the stories of these martyrs from the martyrology. Our Lord wanted to wait. He wanted to wait so we could have these martyr saints. He wanted their blood to water the field of the church, cause the beginning of the church to spring up with great fruit through the great sacrifices made by these figures of our faith. In due time, though, as you know, our Lord wanted his church to triumph. Our Lord eventually decided to step in an extraordinary way by converting an emperor, the Emperor Constantine. The Emperor Constantine was not emperor. He was just one of the generals of the Roman army. He was struggling with power against another general, and it was the night before the battle. He was to go into battle, and he had this dream where our Lord was speaking to him, and our Lord showed him his cross, and he says, make this your standard, and you will conquer if you make the cross standard of your army. And that's exactly what Constantine did. He won this great victory, and he became that emperor chosen by our Lord to give to Catholics their freedom of religion in the Roman Empire. And Constantine not only did that, but he decided to donate one of his palaces to the Catholic Church, the Lateran Palace. And this Lateran Palace is what became the Church of St. John Lateran. Imagine what this was like for these Catholics. How incredible this must have been. They've been persecuted for hundreds of years. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, this emperor becomes a Catholic. And not only that, he gives them this incredible building. The building of St. John Lateran is just majestic, imposing. And so this building made for the emperor of the Roman Empire becomes the first official public building to house the man God, the God man, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be the place where he would dwell sacramentally, to be this public place where Catholics would come and worship in the holy sacrifice of the Mass publicly for the first time. Again, think about what it would be like for a Catholic to live in that time, and then just to be going to Mass and to be walking into this immense palace, and to be thinking, wow, we've arrived. The Catholic faith has arrived. We're able to worship publicly now, and we not only that, we have this approval from the emperor, and we have this just phenomenal building to do so. So this event was a sudden and incredible change for the Catholics of the empire. And the popes, in fact, used St. John Lateran as their church. This was the church of the pope for 1,000 years, from like 313, when the church was given to the Catholic Church, to around the 1300s, when the popes went off to France for a while. So, my dear people, this history is important for us today as traditional Catholics. It is important to strengthen us today in the crisis, in this crisis of the Church. Of the 12 articles of the Creed that we recite where we profess our faith, is one of the articles that's difficult for us today as traditional Catholics. I believe in one holy Catholic Church. Traditional Catholics are tempted to doubt the Church, to doubt that our Lord is still over His Church, that He's still guiding His Church. We have to believe in the Catholic Church. By that I mean we have to believe that the Catholic Church is a divine institution, that our Lord is its head, even though it's composed of human members, that the Catholic Church is the one religion in which a man may be saved. We are being asked by our Lord to undergo a dry persecution in these times. It's similar to these first centuries of the Church. Back then, it was a wet, bloody persecution from those in charge of society. Now it is a dry persecution of traditional Catholics by those who are in charge of the Church. And we have to hold on to our faith of the Church. This is one of the reasons why the SSPX has done a Jubilee pilgrimage to Rome 3 times now in each of the Jubilee years since the beginning of its existence in 1975, in 2000, in 2025. We have gone to Rome because Rome is the center of the Church. And we have prayed. We have done pilgrimage to express our faith in the Church. Father Palirani, our Superior General, in his letter of invitation at the end of 2024, announcing our participation in the Jubilee pilgrimage, he said the following. He said, "There in Rome we shall bear witness to our faith, a faith that we have received from the Church through her tradition. This is our living faith that we have a duty to pass on exactly as we have received it, free from any compromise with the spirit of the world. May this Jubilee be a testimony of hope, especially in regards to the future of the Catholic Church and its indefectibility. Indeed, if we are deeply attached to the Rome as it was, we must be intimately concerned for the Church of tomorrow. Obviously, we know Christ promised that He will be with her until the end of time, despite the attacks of the devil. However, we must understand that this promise necessarily implies our participation. Our blessed Lord is counting on our efforts, prompted and nourished by His grace, so as to guarantee the Church's indefectibility. We believe that the Church still stands in spite of this crisis, in spite of the betrayals of the leaders of the Church, and we want to make a contribution for the Church continuing. It's like Archbishop Lefebvre called it Operation Survival. We are survivors of this faith, of this crisis in the Church. And you know what happened on August 20th of this year? 7,200 traditional Catholics walked, with the permission of the Roman authorities, walked into St. John Lateran, and we sang the Creed. And we said, Credo in unum sanctam catholicam ecclesiam. I believe in one holy Catholic Church. This is one of the things that we sang. We expressed our love for the Church, our belief in the Church, in spite of this great crisis. And of course, there was plenty of State of Acontis trolls online who were saying that the SSPX is compromised. Why are they doing this? There's certainly no State of Acontis pilgrimages organized to Rome because they've lost all faith in the Church and in the continuation of the Church. They believe the Church that we see today just does not exist. And so they just stay home and make bitter, angry posts on social media. So this is not being faithful to the Church and to the Creed. our duty, especially at this time, is to remain faithful. We have a role similar to that of Our Lady, who, as we know, is also being attacked today by the church authorities. We have this duty not to run away from the cross, but to stand faithfully at the foot of the cross, at the foot of this passion of the church. This is the church underwent a passion during the first centuries. So now it's undergoing a passion, and we have to remain faithful to the church by believing in the Holy Catholic Church, remaining faithful to the true faith, and also by making our contribution. We make our contribution by living this traditional Catholic faith, by precisely providing for the indefectibility of the Church, by holding on to the true faith, providing the next generation of Catholics. And of course, we have to have that same patience that the first Catholics had. We don't know when this crisis is going to be over. I mean, it's already been 60 years. We pray, we hope that maybe the next pope is going to be a traditional Catholic. Certainly this pope is not a traditional Catholic. Maybe the next one. We don't know when our Lord is going to intervene on behalf of his church, but we believe he's still in charge. It's his church. The church is still divine. And our role is not to decide for our Lord when that has to happen. But our role is to be patient, to be faithful, to persevere in this Catholic faith, to unite ourselves with Our Lady at the foot of the cross, and so provide that next generation of faithful Catholics, meanwhile continuing to pray and hope that this crisis will be resolved soon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.